I failed to mention Eagles wings tomorrow night. Don't forget to pray for those folks who are going over the Eagles wings tomorrow night, and for the gospel to be preached over there. And I also spoke with my wife earlier today, and she was in church at Bible Baptist in Grand Forks tonight, and she had a blessed time visiting with friends and so on. But she wanted me specifically to send her love to you here, and she'll be back on Friday, and I cannot wait. We're doing okay, but we need mommy, and I need my wife. All right, take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Ezra, please. The book of Ezra and chapter 7. And we're going to look tonight at Ezra's life and his character. And there's some things about Ezra that can help us. And as we are focusing in these weeks, moving up to or moving towards the missions conference, focusing on preparing our heart for what God would have for us. And I've mentioned it before, I suppose, and probably not unfamiliar to you, but too often, people would come to a missions conference, a revival conference, and you know, it takes two or three nights, and then finally our heart is opened up to the things of the Lord. And the Lord wants to do something great. He wants to speak to our heart, but it takes some heart preparation to receive that. And so we're going to look at some of those things here tonight. If you look in Ezra chapter 7, I should probably turn over there myself. Ezra chapter 7, we're going to look down through verse 10. But I'll just give you the first five verses here, a little background of what's taking place here. And we'll get to these specific verses. And the first five verses basically just gives Ezra's lineage. And you can see there in verse 5, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. And so you see Ezra's family line. He's of the tribe of Levi. Ezra is a priest, and Ezra is a scribe. And that is his background and his position. But Ezra was a minister of the sanctuary of the house of the Lord. That's where he served, was in the house of God. He was a minister of the sanctuary, the house of God. He was what is called an exponent of the law of Moses. And Ezra is known here, and as you read through the book, you find that he led the second party from Babylon back to Jerusalem to oversee the finishing of the rebuilding of the temple. And that is what this context is all about. And so he led that second group from Babylonian captivity to oversee and finish the temple rebuilding. But when we look at the life of Ezra, the servant of the Lord, and his work for the Lord, I think there's a lot of things. We don't have time to study out his whole life. And I want to just draw out a couple of things here, highlight things for us tonight. But there's a lot that should stimulate us to our faith and our service to the Lord as children of God. And there's some things that we see that we're going to see here that we ought to have in our lives if we would truly desire God to speak to us, if we would truly desire God's blessing and God's work and God's direction in our life. As a Christian person, something is wrong and something is missing if you don't desire God to give direction in your life. If we really want God to use us, there are some definite things that must be in our life. God's not going to use someone who is, you know, claims the name of Christ but lives life for self. He can't. There's not room for self and room for God. We've been talking about that on Sunday afternoons in our Practical Christian Living series. But as we lead up to the missions conference, it ought to be our desire, folks, for God to speak to your heart on purpose, specifically, for Him to show His power in your life and for Him to use your life. Is that really true of you? Can you honestly say that tonight? Or is it, like I mentioned before, just routine? Do you really, really, really want God to speak to you and use your life? There's something wrong if you don't, if you claim the name of Jesus Christ. Examine your own heart and ask yourself the question, am I living my life currently in such a way that would demonstrate that I really do want God's direction in my life? Well, there's some things that we're going to see in this chapter about Ezra that I think can help us as we seek the Lord to work in our lives. First, I want you to look in verse 10. Well, let's just start in verse 6 and we'll read down to verse 10. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request. Now he requested several things for the rebuilding of the temple of God. And the king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord, his God, upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and of the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. So he's being led of the Lord. Verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. The first thing that I want to draw your attention to when it comes to this issue of having God work in your life, and a characteristic that we see in Ezra's life, is that there was some heart preparation first. There was preparation that was made in his life. Verse 10 says that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. This preparation, note here, he prepared his heart to seek the Lord. This preparation was an individual choice that was made by Ezra himself. He was the one who prepared his heart to seek the Lord. This preparation also required some things. I think sometimes people get confused in what heart preparation is. You know, they might think that seeking after the Lord is preparing your heart. Like, well, Lord, you know, it's missions conference time. I want you to speak to me, as if that is preparing the heart. But Ezra shows here that he prepared his heart first, and then he was able to seek the leadership of the Lord. Look at here in verse 10 where it says, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And then what? And to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. I think if you do some study on heart preparation in the Bible, you're going to find there's some interesting parallels and requirements for seeking the Lord. In fact, if you just turn over to 1 Samuel with me, 1 Samuel in chapter 7, in the context here of 1 Samuel chapter 7, if we were to take the time to read it, we'd see that the Philistines had the Ark of the Covenant, and they found out God's great power when they looked inside of the Ark, and God killed thousands upon thousands of them, and they said, we don't want this thing anymore. Israel, come and get it. We don't want this thing. Notice verse 2 of chapter 7. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Note the time frame here that they had been without the Ark of the Covenant. 20 years without the presence of God. And all Israel lamented after the Lord, the Bible says. Israel had not known the presence of God in their midst for a very, very long time. You know what the word lamented means there? It means groaned in spirit. They had been without the knowing the presence of God for so very long, and they groaned in their spirit. But notice verse 3, all right? So they lamented after the Lord. They wanted the Lord. But notice verse 3, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. No, here they lamented after the Lord. It had been such a long time. And Samuel says, if you want to come back to the Lord, what is the requirement? He says, you got to put away the idols. You got to get rid of the false gods and prepare your heart for the Lord. The abandonment of idols is a necessary part of preparing the heart to seek the Lord. Are you with me? Every true servant of God wants to be used of God. If you're really a servant of the Lord, if you're really a true servant of Jesus Christ, you want to be used of the Lord. Everyone who truly loves the Lord wants to be faithful and fruitful for the Lord. Amen? Just like Ezra was. But that means, according to what Samuel said to the nation of Israel, you want the Lord in your life. You want the Lord to draw close. You want the Lord, you're going to return to the Lord. You got to get the idols out of your life and prepare your heart to seek the Lord. I think we need to do some personal checkups of what we're really giving first place to in our lives. We need to be abandoning the idols in our lives and giving first place to the Lord. That is part of heart preparation. You know, it's one thing to say, Lord, I want you to speak to my heart. But the proof of what's really in the heart comes in what you do in your life. Lord, I want you to speak to my heart, but there's all of these things that I don't really want you to have. Or there's all of these things that are really priority in my life over you. Do you think the Lord is really going to speak to the heart? I think it's a reflection that maybe we don't really want him to. We need to be abandoning the idols in our lives and giving first place to the Lord. Why? Because it empties us of the vain and empty things in this life to make room for God's presence and his will to fill it back up. Are you with me on that? Look at 2 Chronicles 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. What are you giving first place to in your life? Is it really the Lord? Or is it some material thing? Or is it some hobby or some adventure or some other thing? Well, in 2 Chronicles 19, this is Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, and he's making some changes in the kingdom. And the result of the changes that he's about to make brings the people back to the Lord. Look in 2 Chronicles 19, look at verse 3. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Notice the same thing that's mentioned here. He said, there's some good things about you. You've taken away the groves out of the land. What were the groves? They were high places and groves that were they worshipped false gods. And he says, you've gotten rid of those things and you've prepared your heart to seek God. Verse 4, and Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. What's the implication? They were gone away from God. And no doubt it was because of all the false gods and the idols. And Jehoshaphat got rid of the groves and prepared the heart to seek the Lord. And the result was that the people came back to God. You see the parallel here in preparing the heart to seek the Lord? The removal of idols in life. I think we need to do some regular checkups, to do some heart preparation, some personal checkups of what we're giving first place to. And if we really want God to speak to our life and speak to our heart and give direction, we're not going to have any other gods before Him. And we know this to be true. Our actions speak louder than our words, don't they? How we live our life is proof of what's really there in the heart, not the words that we say necessarily. Part of preparation, preparing the heart to seek the Lord, is the abandonment of idols. But there's another requirement here that I've found. 2 Chronicles 29 in verse 10. This is King Hezekiah. And the context is the cleansing of the temple or purification. In 29 and verse 10. Now note the context here. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that His fierce wrath may turn away from us. Right? So he says it's in his heart to make a covenant with God, to be close to God. Okay? Skip over to verse 15. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord, and the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Here, like I said, in the context, we don't have the time to study it all out, but it's the cleansing of the temple. And it was in his heart to draw close to the Lord, to make a covenant with God. But the requirement was that they had to clean up the house of God. Let me make the application. Well, a little background on Hezekiah. He was a good king for the most part. His father, Ahaz, wasn't. His father, Ahaz, shut up the house of the Lord, boarded it up. His father, Ahaz, ceased to burn incense there. He polluted the holy place. You can read all about it. And Hezekiah, on the other hand, he desired to follow after the Lord. He desired to commune with God. But one of the necessary things to do was to cleanse the temple, to cleanse the house of the Lord. In order to do that, let me make the application. Is not our body the temple of the Holy Ghost? Is not our lives, or our lives, are to be His and His habitation? True Christian character is, listen, true Christian character is always going to be searching for that which is polluting the habitation of the Lord. What I'm talking about is the personal life. If there's really a desire in the heart to draw close to God and have God's direction in your life, there's always going to be an attempt to be searching for the thing that is polluting the habitation of the Lord. Look, I don't want anything in my life that hinders my relationship with God. I really don't want anything in my life that pollutes the habitation of the Lord. Sometimes I don't know all of those things, but as I grow in the Lord begins to reveal more and more. And guess what happens? The sanctification process continues in the life of a child of God. When God reveals something, and I know that He's speaking to me, and He says, this thing that is in your life is polluting the habitation of the Lord. My heart's desires, Lord, I want it out. You got to help me. Are you here? That's the desire of somebody who truly wants to be close to the Lord and be led of God. That's what the heart desire is going to be. There's the battle of the flesh and the spirit. That old flesh wants to hold on. And the Spirit of God begins to speak and wants to refine, and he wants to purge, and the flesh starts to fight and it doesn't want to let go. Well, we end up halting or hindering the direction of God in our life. We need to be watching and looking and searching for the things that pollute the habitation of the Lord. And I'm not talking about what we eat. I'm talking about what we allow into our life that is causing us to be defiled. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is part of heart preparation. This is what I'm saying is necessary. You know what? If we want the Lord to speak to our hearts, and I really want God to speak to us through this missions conference, I really do. But there needs to be some heart preparation to be ready. And this is part of it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We could go back in the context and find out what we ought to purge ourselves from. But what I really want to draw your attention to is, what is the result? This person becomes a vessel unto honor. He's sanctified, and he's meet for the master's use. He's able to be used of God, and he's prepared unto every good work. That ought to be the heart of a child of God. Lord, prepare me unto every good work. Lord, sanctify me. There needs to be some heart preparation if we want to see and experience the hand of the Lord. But you know, the best part is that the Lord really wants us to seek Him. He really does want to speak to our heart so that He can reveal Himself to us. But He's not going to reveal Himself to the one who's full of idols and who's dirty on the inside. Do you really want God to use this church? I'm asking the question. Do you really want God to use this church? Church member, you're here for a reason. Do you really want God to use this church, or are you just playing church because it's what good Baptists do? We're not just going through the motions. We have a purpose. God has a plan that involves each and every one of us. Maybe the Lord wants to expand our horizons. Maybe He wants to further burden our hearts. Maybe there's another ministry that He wants us to step out by faith and attack. Well, it's going to take some heart preparation to be ready and prepared unto every good work. But you know, there is no heart preparation without repentance. What does Psalm 66:18 say? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There's got to be some repentance and self-examination. See, back in Ezra 7, we see that Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord. We need to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. Then there was something else. If you go back there, in Ezra chapter 7, I want you to look at verse 6. And I'm certainly not doing, you know, full in-depth study of this passage of Scripture. I'm just trying to do some highlighting here of this man Ezra and his life. And we see something else. We saw that there was heart preparation, but you look in verse 6, we see qualification. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. We see that phrase twice in just these few verses. According to the good hand of his God upon him. What does that mean? That Ezra was being led of the Lord. Ezra was being used of God. And he was following the orders that God had gave him, according to the good hand of God upon him. He was qualified. He was qualified to serve the Lord. Once he was prepared, then he was qualified to have the hand of God upon his life. And because of that invisible and powerful hand upon his life, the king, unbeknownst to him, granted him all his request. The king probably thought that he was doing him a favor, but actually, he was just following God's purpose and God's plan. the mighty hand of God guiding and upholding came after he had prepared his heart to seek the Lord. Note this, this is an important principle. The direction of God and the power of God and the hand of God came after he had prepared his heart to seek the Lord, to seek after those things that would be glorifying to the name of God. We don't have the time to go through this whole context. But what was he doing? He was rebuilding the temple of God for the glory of God. The Lord already had first place in Ezra's life. And so what he would request would be for the accomplishing of that purpose, to continue to bring glory to God. And what I'm saying is that needs to be the motivation of our life and our service to Christ, that which would bring glory to God. That needs to be the motivation for why we would ask a request, Lord, speak to my heart. Why? So that you can use me to bring glory to your name. Lord, would you do something great among us? Why? So that others would know that this is the house of God and you dwell here. That's why. Not to make a name for ourselves, you know, so that the community knows of Plaque Road Baptist Church. If they know anything about Plaque Road Baptist Church, let it be that the power of God resides here for the glory of God. Something different about that place and those people. What is it? It's the presence of God and the power of God. That needs to be the motive for our ministries. That needs to be the motive for why we pray for an individual to be saved. Lord, you got to save this person. You got to work in their life. Why? So that you are glorified. So that you are glorified in this person's life. So people will praise the name of the Lord. The true servant of the Lord would realize his own inability and his need for the power of God. But the true motive of his heart is to bring glory to God. And therefore, seeks to prepare his or her heart so that God would receive glory out of their life. So that we can have access to his power. We're not qualified to have the power of God. We're not qualified to have the leadership of God if our heart is not right with God. And so what I'm saying is, and encouraging to you tonight, is prepare your heart to seek the Lord. There are some things that we need to do. We need to do some checkups. Number one, are there idols in our lives? Things that come before God. We need to get them out. Number two, are there things that are polluting the habitation of God? Things that we allow into our life, we need to get it out. Then we're going to be able to be open and ready to get direction from God. Then our heart is going to be ready for God to speak. If you really want the blessing of God, the direction of God, the power of God, this is what's going to be in your heart. Just some thoughts as we examine the life of Ezra that I think can be encouraging and challenging and beneficial for us as we move closer to the missions conference. Let the Lord speak to your heart, but you got to prepare it first. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for examples like this. And Father, these are just simple thoughts that get our minds thinking in the right direction. And Father, I truly, truly do want you to speak to our hearts, to my heart personally. Father, I truly want you to use Black Road Baptist Church to bring glory. And Father, we sometimes need to step out by faith and put our neck on the line and pray for the impossible. Father, you desire to do the impossible, to bring glory to your name. But first of all, God's people need to have their heart ready for what you want to do. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do some self-examination. Father, to really look inward, and do we really want God to bless, and do we really want God to use us? Do we really want God to use this church? Well, if so, then we're going to do all that we can do to seek after the Lord. So, Father, would you accomplish that in us? Father, would you lead in our own lives? Father, would you bless the missions conference, those preachers that are coming? Father, would you give them just the right message for your people here? Father, would you fill them with your Spirit? And Father, I pray that we would be ready and anticipating the things that you might do among us. Bless your people. Father, give us energy and strength as we work diligently around the property to make things ready, clean things up after winter. But Father, in all of that busyness, Father, may we be busy in preparing the heart to seek the Lord.